The actual sermon for today is called doulos. Doulos is a Greek word that means slave. And you know what a slave is, right? A bondman, a man in civil condition, a man who doesn't have a will of his own, a man under the subjugation of someone else, right? You get that? Are you with me? And the word doulos, as translated slave or servant, is used repeatedly throughout the New Testament. You know, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, the Roman centurion says to Jesus, "You don't need to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Do you understand? That word, to my servant, that word there is doulos. Thank you. Amen. Amen. But you see, this word is also used to describe believers in Christ, especially the apostles. They call themselves the doulos of Christ, the slaves of Christ. Slaves of Christ. You see that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. Matthew 24, verse 46. What does it read? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Or, "Blessed is that doulos." Are you with me? This is a very interesting verse. God believes that when you come into Christ, one of the things you must acknowledge, I will still take our time in a subsequent teaching to press more into this. Are you with me? One of the things you must acknowledge is that you are now a servant of Christ. That means you don't even have your own will. Are you with me? You don't have your will. You are a servant of Christ. Every time, I'm a servant of Christ. Now, I'll be very fast about this because of our time. Today, what I really want to emphasize is that even though you are a servant of Christ, God does not want your servanthood in Christ to be like the servanthood of the world or the slavery of the world. So in the world, when a person is a slave, the person cannot decide what to do. Are you with me? You are under subjugation, as it were. But God wants you to be a slave in Christ, who you are a slave by reason of your will. Are you with me? Let me explain. So God wants you to be the one that will decide, that you will embrace it with your full chest, that I want to be a servant of Christ. Are you getting me? He doesn't want you to be a servant of Christ in such a way that you feel like you are being cheated or you feel like you are being forced. Let me give you a good example in the Bible. And it relates to you a lot. Remember when Jesus was about to die and he was being sentenced to crucifixion and he was told to carry his cross, and the blood coming out from his body or the torture that he had received before the crucifixion was so much that he could not carry the cross. And then they had to compel a man called Simon of Cyrene. Who remembers that story? They had to compel him. Look at it in Matthew 27 from verse 30 to 32. The Bible says, "And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." It's Jesus they are beating like this. "And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they were come out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross." So they literally like pushed Simon of Cyrene, or they compelled him. "Come on, go and carry the cross of Jesus." And he went and carried the cross of Jesus. And I'm sure, probably he had been carrying that cross and like, I'm not the thief, I'm not the criminal. I'm just carrying this cross. And you have been very angry. Why am I carrying this cross? Well, I'm under compulsion to carry it. But imagine who you know and what you know about Jesus, and that sin replays again. And they want to compel somebody to carry the cross. What will you do? You say, "No, let me carry it." Because now you know by revelation that Jesus was not just a criminal, that was not a criminal. Are you with me? You know he was not a criminal. That was the Lord of glory. So now, maybe if Simon in retrospect can see who Jesus was or Jesus is, he would have been, he would be more grateful that he was the one that carried that cross. Are you with me? That's how it is. In fact, some Bible scholars say that for that very act that Simon of Cyrene did, that was why Africa became part of the plan of God. If you check Acts chapter 13, you will see that when the Bible was listening out, the apostles that sprang up from Antioch, Cyrene was named there. Ah, God. Cyrene is what you call modern-day Libya today. Okay, because of time, I will not open it. Okay, we have seen this, right? It says, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called DJ, and Lucius of Cyrene. So it is, many theologians say that because Simon carried that cross, God marks that city to use them. Are you following me? So when you are carrying a cross for the Lord, to the world it may look like compulsion, but in God's eye, it's a privilege. So he wants you to accept it willingly. So Jesus will now say, if anybody wants to follow me, let him take up his cross. God wants you to take up your cross, not force the cross on you. That's why there are different kinds of Christians. There are some people who are born again, but their walk with God never advances with beyond a certain level. But there are some others. They get born again and they take up their cross and say, you know what? I will take up the burden of following the Lord. I will take up the cross of the kingdom. Let me tell you, in the gospel of Christ, there is a cross to carry. I know we are living in a day where we preach the gospel of convenience, what you can get, the food you will eat, all the blessings. Do we believe in blessings? Of course. But you see, our desires for breakthrough, emergence, open doors, bigger expansion, is not for the carnal sake of it. It's because we love the Lord and we want to do more for him. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. Exodus 21. Thank you, Lord. Say after me, thank you, Lord. Exodus 21 from verse 1. It says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Verse 2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. This makes slavery in God's own view very different from slavery of the world. You know, people criticize the God of the Bible that the God of the Bible endorsed slavery. But if they check the terms and conditions of slavery with the God of the Bible and the slavery of the other pagan nations, it was different. Are you with me? Look at what he's saying. He says, according to God, you cannot have a slave forever. But in Egypt, you can be a slave for 400 years. Are you guys what I'm saying? So God's people cannot have slaves forever. After a while, you have to release them. He said after 6 years, on the seventh year, they will go free for nothing. And seventh actually represents the Sabbath. Remember what we thought about Sabbath during camp meeting? The rest of God. So God believes that in the year of rest, every seventh or every seventh year, there must be a release. Are you with me? There must be a release. There's more to say about that, but let's hurry. Then jump to verse 5. It says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So that means there were times where they told the slave, go. And the slave said, I don't want to go. I love my master. I want to be his servant forever. As I was meditating on this, you know what the Lord showed me? It is only those who say, I love my master and I want to be his slave, that will begin to hear things from God. There are things from God that God will only tell to those who say, I want to be a servant by my own will. Are you getting me? Let me tell you, as a Christian, God will not force you. God will not force you to do many things in the kingdom. You can be an ordinary Christian and he will not force you. But if you want to promote yourself and go higher with the Lord, you have to take up your cross and say, you know what? I love my master. Are you with me? When everybody wants to go a certain way, all our believers want to live their life in a certain way, you ask yourself, what is the will of God? I love my master. And that's how you'll be able to hear. Let me tell you, a person who has not learned this, there are many things he will never hear. You know, yesterday, my mentor said something. He said, if you are a Christian and God has never asked you to give a sacrificial seed, not just to church, but to people around you. God has never touched you and said, see this person, see this your brother or your neighbor. Do something good for them. Your walk with God is faulty. If as a Christian, you know, in all your Christian experience, you've never sacrificed a thing for God or for somebody close to you in the name of God, you are not doing well. Your spirituality is not where it ought to be. Sometimes I love my master. I will take up my cross. Glory! The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.